Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
I saw these last night. They're clatter rings. See, when the heart faces the body, it means commitment. Being honest and true to each other.
Spinner, they're beautiful.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of everyone's favorite Degrassi podcast, Narbos and Broomheads. We're getting ready to wrap up season 5 of The Next Generation with this two-parter. And if you've been playing along at home, you'll probably realize that we're not the biggest fan of the season. Will these episodes redeem the season or further cement it in the outhouse? Let's find out. My name is Barry. I'll be host for this one. Where should I send it? Who else is out there in podcast land? Let me just send it up the road to very close Torbay.
Guess that's me. Hey. Hey, everybody. How's it going? All's good here. Me and Linda were down swimming in the pond, swimming in the creek, just like two country bumpkins today on this hot summer day. And if I sound different, that's because I have my summer shirt on, all buttons undone. So if you can hear it in my voice, that's what's going on. So yeah, I'm Ted. Hey, everybody. Let's roll it on up to Canada's capital, Toronto. No, it's Ottawa.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Hello, it's me. I'm in Canada's capital. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go swimming with my dog today. And I sound exactly the same as last week, probably.
You didn't swim in a pond despite the fact that you're right on the ocean?
No.
Yeah.
I stepped in it.
A pond, or possibly another acceptable answer, a creek. Swimming in the creek.
We call it a creek.
Oh, it's creek.
Potato, potato.
We don't call it anything.
But yeah, I'm freshly returned from Newfoundland, and it was a lovely time.
I'm gonna quickly introduce myself. I'm Alan in Toronto. Hi, everybody. But I want to put it back to Courtney because I want to hear about this trip.
Oh yeah. Seriously, where do I begin?
Aren't all the people up there a bunch of motherfuckers?
That's what I said.
Uh-huh.
I greeted everybody that way. Hello, motherfucker. No, it was great. Ted and Barry and I got to hang out and did very super cool things together.
Yeah. We listened to various wrestling themes.
Yep.
What was the favorite?
Without a doubt, for me, it was the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Uh-huh.
I fired that one off a couple of times, yeah.
Yep. There was, I don't even remember what ones we listened to.
So just so I'm clear here, 40-something-year-old Courtney traveled all the way to Newfoundland.
Yes.
Met up with two other 40-something-year-olds, and then you guys sat around and listened to wrestling theme music.
Yes.
And loved it.
You know what? Story checks out. Yeah.
What?
Story checks out.
And you're jealous as fuck, I bet.
You didn't watch any Degrassi?
Fuck no.
Yeah, they're coming to town in Winnipeg. They're going to Winnipeg in November now.
Yes, ooh-hoo. I saw.
Yeah, Joey and Caitlin making the trek in November. That's commitment to selling your shit. So Good for them.
More desperation because he has no money.
Who knows? Allegedly.
Just kidding. Yeah.
Poor Joey.
Right. No, it was a great time. We didn't really talk about Degrassi very much. We just did other stuff, I guess.
That's cool. You don't have to talk about Degrassi when you see your friends for the first time in years.
Surprising, right? And it was fun. And then somebody reminded me on Instagram about long treats. And I was like, fuck, we never even talked about them or did anything long treaty while we were there.
What a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. But lots of fun.
Long treat doesn't exist anymore. They don't. I guess it was a Brookfield Ice Cream that made long treats, Ted. I don't remember which is a local ice cream company or was.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure who made them, but I did have my coworker the other day say to somebody going at the store, she said, "Oh yeah, no, I'll bring in a box of long treats for the office." So I was like, "Well, I know what that means, of course." But if you're from my
kind of people.
I don't know who actually made it. Brookfield, I guess. Like, they're pretty popular. You know, there's not so many competing dairy producers of ice creams and iced creams whatnot.
We're in Canada. There's only one, the government. The government does everything, remember? Communism.
Government issued.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Trudeau Pops.
It's just a yellow package that says Long Treat in plain font on it.
Like the no-name brand.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever realized that you guys don't have bagged milk there. Maybe I did and I forgot, but
we had it for a little while.
Did you?
But then we stopped. I don't know why.
I know why. We don't. There's no bagged milk in Manitoba either because we're not savages. Like,
oh, who makes the decisions to use bags or cartons?
I'm just gonna say it was Doug Ford.
Trudeau.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on the Wiki, and they say. Newfoundland stopped producing milk because we are not savages.
Oh, it's interesting. Oh.
It's so weird. Yeah. Uh-huh. Strange.
Yeah, that checks out.
I think originally the bagged milk was because of waste. It'd be less waste, but now that we recycle the cartons, you don't need to. In other words, you can't recycle the bag. I guess you can recycle the bags too, but.
Yeah, and that was great for garbage.
For our American listeners, by the way, yes, in Ontario, it's very common to buy your milk in a bag. You actually buy a bigger bag, right? Like it's. You get 4 liters of it, which is one big bag that you open up, and then it's got three smaller bags with milk.
Filled with milk.
And for the first, 6 months that I lived in Ontario, I would buy the bag, and then I would take the little bag out, I would cut it, and I would pour the milk into a pitcher, and then serve the milk from the pitcher. And then finally somebody was like, you know they have pitchers for that, right? They cost $1. It's like, this is a game changer.
You idiot.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been worse. I could have just zip tied the bag and then fucking poured it straight out of the bag for 6 months. And at least I put it in a pitcher.
As soon as you open it, you're like, I hope I like milk because I got to drink the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it won't stand up in the fridge.
Yep.
It'll just fall over. So much boiled milk in the fridge.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And, I also got to go cod fishing, and that was amazing. And I have a whole bunch of fish in my freezer. So come visit me, Alan, and I'll feed you.
Did you kiss the cod and become a official, what is it, screeched in?
No, I did that she 17 years ago.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Yes.
Barry celebrated his 17th wedding anniversary whilst I was there, which is also our 17-year friendiversary.
With you? Right. Like you and Barry went out and he left his wife at home?
Well, I tried to, yeah.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah, he said no. Jerk. Yeah.
It was a Three's Company style thing where we were partying in a shed and Barry was having a nice dinner at a fancy restaurant. And he had to keep rushing back and forth to please both of us. So, yeah, that was pretty good. He's like, hello.
Trying to fool the other one like we weren't there. And he kept mixing up like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
I thought you'd say like a Three's Company scenario. Like he'd be walking towards the shed and you'd be like with Courtney, but you'd be hammering a board in. And you'd be like, oh, I'm banging it so hard. And he would misunderstand the situation and think you guys were doing it.
Yeah,
and then he would fall over the couch in a comical fashion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so great.
I was Move the power fist. I discovered the Princess Otto slogan while I was there as well. Is power fist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I never knew that before. This.
I couldn't. I took
their
slogan.
That's like their generic like store brand, isn't it? Power fist.
Yeah.
What a choice.
That's amazing to me.
Power fist. I'll send you the picture of the wheelbarrow that I took. It's my memento. That's all I can remember from the trip right now. I might come up with other stories throughout the podcast, so stay tuned. Sure, he's excited.
Before, Barry, you get into this episode, which, is it fleshable or not? We'll see, everybody. But I just figure we've already announced it on all our social medias, but I will say it here officially that we are obviously two episodes away from being done season 5 of Next Generation. And we're going to take a Degrassi break because, woo! I mean, I think we need it.
We're bitter. We're too bitter.
Yeah, but we're not going away, everybody. We're going to cover my so-called life. We're going to do that for at least 19 episodes because it's a 19-episode series. The whole thing was 19 episodes. Seems to have generated a lot of excitement when we announced it from our key demographic. The very specific demographic that likes this show seems to like My So-Called Life. And I'm actually going to talk about an article in our first My So-Called Life episode that talks about that there's kind of a smaller subset of the Gen X that some have called the Jordan Catalano generation. So anyways, in our next episode, also covering Degrassi, I will also, and this is a teaser, I'll also play our new theme song for those episodes. So stay the fuck tuned. Don't unsubscribe. Assholes.
We don't even know the theme song yet, do we?
Nope.
I've never seen My So-Called Life. I don't know if anyone else has.
Me
or
hasn't.
No. I've seen a bit of it, but that's it.
I don't know. I would assume that you'll all like it. But and based on demographics, Courtney, you'll like it a lot more than everyone, because like it's totally right. Like for like girls who are the same age as Angela Chase, very much so. Though again, it can be enjoyed by everybody, but I don't know. Like it's not. It's got some humor in it, but it's not like, you know, as much lightness as Degrassi has. It's very angsty. I don't know, but the storylines are good. At least I rewatched the first couple of episodes already, and it certainly feels a lot more kind of realistic, and they've actually thought about longer term storylines, so that helps too. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But anyways, we'll see. I'm curious to see your reaction when it happens.
I do recall it was a critical darling, but it just never had very good ratings, so it only lasted the one season. But I've always wanted to watch, and this gives me a good reason to watch it. So
I'll talk about it in more detail when we cover the first episode, but after watching the first episode, I was like, very clear why this show did not last.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it would have lasted today because it would have been on cable or on a streaming service, but mm-hmm. on a network, like it was on, I think, ABC, back when there were, you know, basically four networks and that was it. It's not made for network TV whatsoever. No. It doesn't have the broad appeal. When you watch it, you'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to think about what network TV was back in like 1992, 93, right? Like sitcoms and shit like that. This is very different. So
shit like that. What was on then? Was that like Full House?
There's still some Full House, I think. Fucking Did I Do That was on still. Irks. And yeah, you know, whatever. I don't know if Cosby Show was still on. I think it was in its last stages, maybe like Cheers. But it was getting to like Seinfeld and Friends and all that stuff. So. Yeah. Incidentally, I know we're straying even further away from Degrassi. I saw a funny comment on Twitter about Friends where they were like, how are these people friends? 80% of the plots are them lying to each other. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. So anyways.
Oh, I could talk about Friends forever, but I won't.
No. But before we get to the My So-Called Life or continue talking, reminiscing about Friends, we need to get through High Fidelity.
Yes.
This was episode was written, it's a two-parter. The first part was written by Brandon York, directed by our good friend Phil Earnshaw. First aired in Canada on March 13, 2006, and in the U.S. on June 2, 2006. So this is an Elvis Costello song from 1980. Is that what they're referencing here in the title? Is that right?
I'm guessing so. I mean, it's more well-known because of the book, movie, TV show, but it's a good song by Elvis Costello for sure. It just wasn't a big chart hit, right?
Yeah.
Barry?
Yeah.
Oh, before you move on, and if you don't like spoilers, skip ahead about 15 seconds, but... Well, yeah, that's a toilet. So anyways, welcome back, everybody.
I like to think that you were taking a crap like during the last two minutes. So
I have my microphone set up in here. Oh, no.
That was Ted's review of this episode I'm taking.
Yeah.
Well, don't spoilers.
Or this season.
Maybe it has nothing to do with it. Maybe I'm just playing with my soundboard again.
The funny thing with the song High Fidelity, when I was kind of reading up on it, is it's basically, so it's a story about two members of a couple who are cheating on each other, and one of the members of the couple thinks that the relationship is salvageable, and it's apparently, you know, hitting close to home for Elvis Costello, because I think he did a lot of that kind of stuff over his life, but they talk about how he was tormented by it, and I always think it's like, what was he like? Oh, man, I can't stop fucking other people. Like, I just can't stop myself. I just got to fuck people who aren't my wife or my girlfriend. God, why can't I stop? It's just a kind of a funny thing to me.
God.
Well,
yeah.
Well, for once, they actually nailed the song into the episode.
But yes.
First time they've ever done it.
Very much so. Yeah. This one does tie in really nicely, which is good. One other thing that's interesting with the writing crew, and this happened before in the Our Lips Are Sealed two-parter, it's a different writer for both parts of the two-parter.
Well, that's got to work.
Yeah, in this case, I think the two episodes do tie a little bit better together, maybe because they're both so disjointed, but yeah, it's weird that you would have a two-part episode written by two different people. So, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually one episode is longer than it's in two different parts, so they film it as two episodes, but yes, not in the Next Generation.
Yeah, so there you go.
We open to Darcy outside the dot in Spinner's car waiting for him to get off work. Peter, Manny, and Emma pop out. Annie and Emma now, of course, are best friends again after the whole diet fiasco and Emma's eating disorder and all that kind of stuff. Emma tells Darcy that she should have come in for coffee. So right off the bat, this makes me think, was she waiting outside in Spinner's car the entire time he was on shift, like her whole shift? Because she's in the passenger seat in his car. So maybe I don't know if she has her. Is she old enough to have her license?
He parked there and he's like, "I'll be back in 5 hours. Just wait for me."
Is he right? Yeah. I'll put the window down a crack so you don't.
Lucky nobody broke the window if it was daytime, like a dog in a car. It's like she needs air. You don't treat a Darcy like this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, so Manny and Peter are just hanging out now. Like,
oh yeah,
I get that they teamed up in that episode to help Emma out, but like, just because you teamed up to help somebody, like, it's not, what's the saying, like, the enemy of my friend is my enemy, or I don't know what it is, but anyways, it's like, doesn't work in this situation. Like, you don't have to be friends still. He still did something really shit, but nope, they're just hanging out, and Emma, just out of the hospital, like, all is well.
Everything's perfect.
Yeah.
Go getting coffee.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Spinner goes on about how his whole life is work and exams. It's taking up all his time, and he needs some Darcy. So they start making out. So Darcy stops to tell him that she has a job at a summer camp. Spinner thinks her working at summer camp would be a good title for a porn movie. which is great. Darcy does summer camp or something, I think he said. So they're not going to be able to see each other. They're not going to be able to see each other much this summer. That sounds kind of familiar. School's out part two, is it?
Yes.
I wish.
Darcy makes a comment about how she's going away all summer, and girls like Tessa Campanelli will be hitting on Spinner. Mm-hmm. But Spinner assures he only has eyes for her.
Who's a 30-something-year-old woman at this point.
So they start making out again, and suddenly Darcy stops and says, "We can't. Because they took a vow to be virgins until marriage." So she's going to bang him right here?
She thinks they're going to pipe down right there. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So what did she say? Spinner's pipe plant. Down? Sorry.
Yeah, pipe down.
Lay in pipe?
Yeah, lay in pipe. With that pipe.
Of course, David Wilcox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's laying pipe. I would never use that term because even though I just did, because it reminds me of Dave Wilcox. And when I hear that song, all I can picture him on stage is giving a big wink, like wink, laying pipe all night to satisfy that woman. Get it? I mean, penis. It's like, okay. Okay, Dave.
Yeah.
We get it. We got it.
Yeah. Pipe so basically what, what happened here was Darcy was waiting outside in the car for the entirety of Spinner's shift. So Spinner come out and they can bang in the parking lot, but then she changed her mind because of the vows.
Yeah, these two make out a lot. Like there's been a lot of scenes this season where like they start fooling around and then they're like, no, we need to stop. And it's like, you don't. Like you can.
Yeah,
lots of stuff you can do.
Yeah, it's clear that you both want to. So you know what? Just do it. Like,
yeah, and, you fuck know. The friendship club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
fuck each other instead.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. But no, we just got this.
Yeah, and Darcy's like super horny all the time.
Yes, she's hornier than Spinner.
She's like dry humping him every chance she gets.
Yeah, she's also like things that come out of her mouth make me want to run away. Like, just the constant paranoia, right? Oh, I'm going to be gone, so there's going to be pussy in your face all summer, Spinner. Like people who talk like that, that's bad news. Like constantly.
Yeah.
And we get that a lot from her. So, and I mean, unfortunately, she turns out to be right. But anyways, spoiler alert.
So we get our credits. We then go to the cafeteria. Emma's getting food. They make reference to her eating disorder, so at least they didn't completely drop it after one episode or two part episode. Emma says that the cafeteria food is worse than the hospital food. We find out that Manny's the head of some kind of talent show. She's all stressed out because she doesn't have any refreshments organized or a technical crew together yet. She got a clipboard to show that she's working nonstop on this. It's a big production, which I call the Claude Tanner Memorial Tanner Talent Show.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good throwback that they actually kept that in there.
That's good.
I know we say this all the time, but where are the fucking teachers in all this? Like, it shouldn't be up to Manny to come up with refreshments for this variety show, where the fuck it is. Like, where's Miss Kwan or somebody? She got to get a higher technical team. Like, she have to figure out how to use all the shit too, or
yeah, there's the whole thing, and there's every I've have the question where are the teachers littered throughout. My notes, here, because so many scenes where it's like, what? Why isn't a teacher intervening? Yeah, it's not good, including with what's about to happen.
So Peter and Emma assure everything's going to be okay. Emma tells her to take charge because it's her show. We then go to Spinner and Darcy. We're eating lunch, and Spinner's talking about these Christian abstinence blogs that he's reading. Something about you need to keep busy so you won't have sex. And I mean, I had no words. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, do people really talk like this? Like, are high school kids actually into this? I guess there are some religious places where there are. I don't know.
Again, if you've decided not to bang and then you just spend all your time talking about how you're not banging, like, you just really want to bang. Like, that's.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Manny decides right then and there she's going to do a spontaneous volunteer recruitment. She stands on a chair and announces that she needs volunteers for the talent show or variety show, whatever they're calling it. Liberty's brother stands up and tells Manny to take it off. And the basketball prodigy does the woof woof Arsenio Hall thing. I can't remember these guys' names. Derek. Danny. I can't remember the guy's name.
Derek.
Yes.
Yeah. Derek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no teachers.
Just take it off.
No teachers. When the student stands on a table to announce across the cafeteria that they need help, and then two students tell her to strip. No teachers.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
No.
Like, that's a suspension and a half now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
That was a daze. Did anybody... Have we ever talked about that... what's that guy's name that you just said? Derek. How... Derek. I clicked on his name on whatever, and he was in Billy Madison. Did we talk about this? And I just forget?
Yeah.
We did talk...
I don't remember. I think we mentioned that he was in Billy Madison, but we may not have, but...
Yeah? Okay. That's fucking cool. He's credited as nodding grade one boy.
Uh-huh.
There you go. What an acting credit.
right?
I think it's the one where he's the kid that Billy Madison is threatening. He wants to trade the banana for a snack pack.
Oh.
Oh.
I'll trade you this banana for a snack pack. The kid says no, and then he's like, you know how badly I could beat you, right? And the kid nods, and then, yeah, that's it.
Well, that would make sense, because nodding grade one, yeah.
Yeah.
That was Miss Lippy's class.
I'm actually looking for the photo of it now. Anyways, continue. All right.
So Spinner thinks that this is a message from God and tells Manny to sign them up. Manny's a little bit too happy with this, calling Spinner her hero. And Darcy is not impressed at Manny's enthusiasm. So we head over to Mrs. H in class here. She's passing out pamphlets for the 50th anniversary of the Chloe Tanner Variety Show Memorial. she's doing a post-secondary preparation class, including a section on finances. Now, did anyone's high school have this? Mine certainly did not.
Sure didn't.
No.
What was it?
A post-secondary preparation class.
Oh, no.
No.
And the first section was finance.
Are you going to university or are you going to trade school? Yeah. Choose. Choose wisely.
Choose your own adventure. Mm-hmm. Or all of the above.
Paige is still there bitching about not being accepted to Banting yet. She's also hoping to get a scholarship. Alex don't care about any of this and shows Paige a tattoo that she's working on, wondering if she should get this tattoo. Paige is all bitchy because Alex isn't planning for her future. But Alex says it's living in the now. And she's going to learn bass and replace wheels into Zit Remedy.
Oh, don't tease me.
It feels like this is all these two talk about. Like, after they get together, it's like, oh, I want to have a few. Oh, I want to do university. Oh, I don't. Oh, you have no future. Oh, I live in the now. And it's like, this just repeats and repeats and repeats. Like, we only get a glimpse of it in the episodes that we've watched, and I'm so fucking sick of it. I can't imagine being in that relationship.
They have nothing in common. Like, they might as well break out into, like, I'm a little bit country, I'm a little bit rock and roll, and sing it, like, karaoke styles. Because they have nothing in common. I don't know. And now they're like, Paige is like, we know how we feel about Paige, but she's making these big plans to move away to university. Like, are you that stunned? What is the stupid?
What do you
is
mean?
She stunned? Because she's applying to this Banting school. This is like the top like 1% of people get in or something like that. Hasn't that been established?
I think it's supposed to be Queens because they say it's in Kingston.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of everything, they don't have anything in common. All they do is talk about. Well, Paige talks about her plans, which is called out later, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a love of scissoring in common.
Okay.
And that can make a relationship last a long time.
They're called the acclaimed.
That's right.
The very next scene. So, again, we're just talking about how she didn't get her acceptance letter in the Banting yet. But we go to the very next scene. We're at the movie theater. Paige has this giant envelope. She says she got into Banting. So I'm not sure what the time difference is between, I don't know if it's like the same day or it's like a week later or she went home after school and the acceptance letter was there. But I guess we don't really care about timelines in this show.
No, I just love the, like, I don't know if I got into Banting. I got into Banting.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Very next scene.
Yeah.
She's super stoked about it and tells Alex, we are out of here. So again, we talked about this. Banting's like this super top school. And Paige got in, and it's like only the top students get in her. So in her class, we soon learned that Marco's class valedictorian. We know Craig got a full scholarship to U of T, was it? I think.
Yeah.
So at best, she's third best in her class.
Good point.
On top of that, she completely blew the recruitment interview by being stoned at it, but yet she got into the school. So there you go.
Well, her mom is friends with the recruiter, so.
I guess so.
You know, I guess that just conquers everything. Also, if you're, you know, a 20-something or a teenage, you know, a late teen or whatever, and somebody offers to, you know, or asks you if you want to go to Kingston to not be going to university, like, just for fun, why would you do that?
Yeah. You go work at the prison. Okay. Yes. Great.
Yeah.
So Alex is not stoked about this, and she reminds that she's not going to Banting. She didn't get accepted. It was Paige. Paige thinks Alex can get a transfer from work and move there too. All this is happening while some guy's there waiting to get his popcorn. And if I was him, I'd be as pissed as he is. Like, he's just trying to get his popcorn. They're not working, talking about their shitty future that they got planned.
totally agree. Like some, you know, sometimes they make these customers out to be assholes, but in this case, I'd be pissed too.
I want my popcorn. I don't give a fuck about your little drama here. So the popcorn guy asks for more topping. Alex is frustrated at Paige's plan, says he doesn't want to be selling popcorn while she's meeting new people at school. And then the popcorn guy's like, I want more toppings. I want it on the bottom and on the top. Do you want me to show you what it looks like? So Alex looks at it and gives it like 10 pumps and says she looks forward to his heart attack. Unfortunately, all this happens in front of the manager, who asks Alex to see her in her office.
Who is not the same manager as the original manager. I forget what the name of the original manager was, but I mean, not like that I'm shocked that there's turnover in the cinema managerial industry, but
that's right.
Like, I thought that was a job you take for life, but anyway.
Yeah, where's my gold watch?
Golden bucket of popcorn.
Yeah, covered in butter.
Yeah, it's a golden bucket of popcorn, like the MTV Music Awards or what, or the Movie Awards.
Yeah. But it still has a hole in the bottom of the bag. So, yeah.
Ew.
With a penis.
Yeah.
Gross.
So we head inside the movie theater. We see Darcy and Spinners watching a movie. Darcy is necking. Dry humping them because she's super horny.
She's in heat, man.
She is in heat.
I'm starting to go towards a possible theory of maybe Darcy's a tracker type person in this universe, because she was out in the car all while he was working. not good dog ownership, by the way. But now she's like, and he was in the car. Darcy was humping his leg, and now she's humping him again. Like side on, like a dog does. Yeah. I know they're in movie seats, but I don't know. More to be determined.
Might be onto something there.
So possibility.
So Spinner says he doesn't want it to go too far. Like, how far is he expecting this to go? Like, is he expecting this like Alanis Morissette and Dave Coulier or something?
Give me a Coulier.
Give me a Coulier in the theater.
Dave Coulier. Yeah, like, can't she give him an HJ, or is that against fraud?
Okay, like, we could go lock the camera on for 15 minutes while she's like mashing it, and we're like, okay, this is great.
Put your coat on my lap.
I love this.
Yeah, and then Darcy says to Spinner, well, what about Manny? Is she an older version of me? Is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Great. So Darcy starts getting snotty about the exchange that Manny and Spinner had earlier. And she says she can only imagine what she was like when they were going out. First, Spinner says, do you want to play-by-play? But he quickly changes his strategy and how this conversation is going to go. He says nothing happened when they dated. He wasn't into her that way, and her sexual past turned him off. So Darcy asks if he's still a virgin, and Spinner says he's such a virgin, Mary is jealous. This made me chuckle.
Uh-huh.
Any Catholics in the house?
Yeah. That's me. So Darcy all of a sudden has a full 180 on Manny. Now she feels bad and says if she could purify herself, her past could go away. And again, I said, do people really think and talk like this? I guess they do. I don't fucking know.
I mean, have you ever seen the Dave Chappelle clip where he's Prince?
Oh, yeah.
Playing basketball or something?
Yeah, where he plays. Yeah, and during that, when he's playing Prince, he tells Charlie Murphy, why don't you purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka? So that's what I thought.
So Spinner is pretty intrigued by this purification process. I'd like to know a bit more. Darcy says it's a ceremonial thing and could really help Manny. So there we go.
Darcy is totally destined to be in like this Nexium cult. Yes. Eventually, you know, when it gets created years later, like she is primed up for that to get branded and shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
and again, how does Spinner listen to this shit and be like, me so horny for you? Like,
yeah,
right. That all, everything that comes out of her mouth is pure. Like,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
that are dry humping him or talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Maybe she's a dog with like a crucifix around her neck. Okay, sorry. I'm just still. Okay, this is my pet project. I won't bring it up, but I'll just think about it. That's what I'm picturing, like a golden retriever.
Workshop that.
Okay, workshop. I'll think about it. I got to tie the red strings together.
Yeah.
So Spinner heads out of the theater to get some snacks. He wants to grab some candy, and he's talking to Paige, who's working the counter. They make a Clown Academy 2 reference, and Paige is like surprised at the rom-com that Spinner took Darcy to. But Spinner says, as long as she's happy, he's happy. But he notices Paige isn't happy. Paige tries to deny it, says she's peachy. Spinner notices the Banting acceptance envelope and hugs her because he's so happy. So Paige proceeds to buy the candy for him. Or more likely, she just probably stole it and is not going to pay for it.
Yes, man. That's movie theater candy, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, with the prices of movie theater candy, I would lie to somebody about being excited over their university acceptance, too. It's going to get me free candy? Yeah.
Here's $17 as a high school student. What? Yeah. Too much.
Yeah. So we see Alex come up, and she's in her civvies, not her uniform. And says the manager made her clean the bathroom, then after she done that, fired her.
Like, that's wow, amazing.
That's dirty.
Yeah.
That's a heel move.
Yeah.
That's a heel move.
Love it.
Like, can you imagine after, all right, here's your penis. You know, this is what you got to do. You got to clean out the bathroom. She comes back, oh, yeah, now you're fired.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's...
Best manager ever.
Yeah, that's pure heel there. Alex don't really care. She says she's time to leave this stupid job anyway. Paige keeps pushing her about what's next. Alex tells her to back off with the career planning, and they make plans to see each other the following day. So, we go to the jewelry store. Spinner's showing Darcy some stupid rings. I thought they're earrings first, but I think they are rings.
Mm-hmm.
She talks something about how the heart is flying, and they represent commitment and love and future and bullshit. And,
that's exactly what she says.
Darcy's all happy. I guess my question is, how much do you think he paid for these? Are these more or less than Caitlyn's ring?
I think it's more because he has it. Well, I guess Joey had a job too, but I don't know. I feel Spinner doesn't seem cheap. He just seems like he doesn't have money, and now he's got a job, so he's got it. Joey was a cheapskate.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But these are more than Caitlyn's $50. It was a $50 ring or whatever it was?
$65
bucks.
Okay.
Four short of the magic number.
That's right.
Just saying.
Yeah. So we head to the rehearsals for the big show. Manny's working on the choreography with Darcy. And Spinner shows up. She sends him to the tech board. And as Spinner goes away, Manny tells Darcy that he has a thing for cheerleaders, and you're number 3.
Not incorrect.
No, it's true. And he says she's a lock to be the lead of the squad next year because she has the following attributes. She's smart, she's funny, a good dancer, graceful, and she did not get kicked off for showing her boobs.
But that's crazy that she got kicked off for doing that because Peter sent around this video.
Yeah,
he has zero comeuppance. Like, zero. What did he get?
He got detention. Yeah. Yeah.
To extrapolate it to more society, but you go, like, white dude, blonde hair dude just gets nothing. Like, just not even a smack on the wrist. Just, and then being like, why are you freaking out so much? Why do you keep bringing that up? That's making me mad that you're bringing it up so much. And you go, and she pays for it, and he does not pay for it, and gross.
Well, again, good message to kids too, right? We live in this world where Manny was the victim and is punished for it and accepts it. It's like, well, I did it. Like, I'm a shithead. No.
Pretty bad. Darcy asks Manny if she's interested in a new start with the Friendship Club. And Manny says, fuck no. says the nun life isn't her scene. Darcy says, anyone can change. Look at Spin. He's now into prayer and abstinence. And then he's shocked about the abstinence line and calls her a miracle worker for being able to pull off that. And Darcy's shocked by this and asks if they had sex. Manny can't even comprehend this question. She's like, are you serious? What has he been telling you?
And Darcy is poor planning on Spinner's part, right? Like, Darcy and Manny interact way too much. And Darcy is way too curious about things that have happened and won't keep her mouth shut. So his lie is going to get caught, right? It's inevitable. So anyways, also on the Degrassipedia page, Bananahead said, how could Spinner and Manny even have sex? They were together for like 5 minutes. And I thought, that's long enough.
5 minutes? That's long enough, good. You Bananahead.
Twice and have a nap.
Yep. So we head to Miss Kwan's class. She's talking about their communications class or something like that and passing out corrective tests. See, Alex got an F. She don't give a shit about. Drake got an A minus and he says he's on fire. And Paige says that'll impress the pants off any admissions office. And one A minus will not do this, Paige.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, Paige, shut the fuck up. Like, yeah, you got into school, but shut up, will you, please?
Well, in the Drake storyline, it ends in the next episode. But so the whole thing with Drake is he's worried about graduating because he's missed a lot of school because he got fucking shot at school. Yep. And so he's worried about it. No one has been keeping him up to speed over the course of the year. Like, you're on track to graduate. You're not on track to graduate. He's just left a guess until the very last fucking day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Figured out at the end.
Yep.
Oh, man. So bad.
Yeah.
And it is the school's job to do that, to keep him up to date, because they kind of go, yeah, it comes up in the next episode, but he basically gets voted off the island.
I mean, it's kind of like similar to the Alex situation. He has to clean the toilets throughout the whole school year, and then he's going to go and check in, and he's going to be told he's fired.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wonder, things where the teachers probably knew, and they're like, who's going to tell him? Oh, I'm not telling him. And they put it off, and they put it off to the last day. Oh, we finally got to tell him now. He just can't put it off no more.
We can't tell him. He's in a wheelchair. Like,
don't look down.
Yeah, like, you can't, I don't even, yeah, you, she can't actually do that, right? Like, fail him because he was.
Well, I think it's fail him. He never had enough credits because I guess he missed some of these courses or something.
Yeah. Nothing can be done.
No,
that's right. Sorry.
You could say, for example, the credits, your situation with credits is going to make it hard for you to get into a university, but you can still fucking graduate. Like, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, Drake says he needs a few more credits. Isn't sure what might happen. He might not graduate. And Alex jumps all over this. You don't know what would happen and the sky isn't falling? Amazing. And Paige, directing this Paige, of course. And Paige says, don't mind her. She just got fired. And Alex says she'll get another job. If not, there's always welfare. And Paige sarcastically calls this a fun plan. And it's not a very good plan, to be quite honest. Alex asks if she even knows what fun is, and Paige gets one of her papers that she has an A, and she goes, getting A's is fun. Alex wants her to cut class for tomorrow, and they make a plan to do that. We head back to the variety show, and Liberty is giving Manny crap about the timeline of her produced talent show. Manny calls it Creative Liberty, and I think no one's going to give two shits about this. I think it was like it started off in the 1960s, then they went back to the 1800s or something, but I don't know if it had to be chronological.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't learn that some kid's sick, so Liberty has to get Spinner to put him in the talent show, and he becomes Victor. Spinner isn't interested, but Liberty says the show is in 2 days and doesn't care. You're Victor now. So this got me to say, why is Liberty in charge? Like, where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Manny was ahead of this, but all of a sudden Liberty's part of it too?
Yeah, and then you all put your heads together and are like, Spinner would be the good guy to do this.
Yeah,
not JT, yeah. Not Toby, not what's his name, Marco Spinner.
Yep,
cool.
Yep,
makes sense. Yeah,
Manny and Spinner are now Victor and Charlotte, and they read their lines and they do these little kissy faces, and it looks terrible. Darcy gets all jealous and tells Manny to back off hitting on her boyfriend. Spinner tries to remove himself from the situation and asks if anyone else wants to be Manny's acting partner. No one jumps at it. Darcy says she's not surprised and asks her again about repentance. And he's like, I'm not doing that. And Darcy says she isn't surprised because she's the school's biggest slut.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Big burn. Manny says, you're the last person to call me that. And they have a purely
a very poorly done fight that I would have to say ended in a Broadway.
You know how it didn't end, right? With teachers breaking it up.
Yeah. No.
No.
People smiling and laughing.
Yeah.
This is great.
JT and Toby are so horny.
Oh, my God.
Shitty grins.
Yeah. And I'm like, JT, you went out with Manny. Like, remember? She dumped you because you had a small dick. So, anyways.
Oh, no. Small dick energy.
Yeah.
Poor JT.
So Spinner breaks up the fight. Darcy tells Spinner that he lied about being a virgin and shoves him, and he walks away. And she actually knocks Spinner right on his ass.
And Manny is also, is one thing, Manny is also taken to calling people sweetie now. And I'm like, Manny, don't do that. Don't. Don't. Just don't. It's gross. Weird.
Nobody should do that.
No. That's my only point. Don't do that, Manny.
I did notice that, though. I didn't really make note of it, but I did notice she started calling people sweetie. Ugh. I was like, ugh.
Cringy.
Yep. So we go to the dot. Marco's working on his valedictorian speech. Asks for Paige's opinion. Spinner walks by, asks if he wants coffee refills. Marco says he looked like he's lived through a country song. Spinner says his dog is fine, his truck too, which I kind of laughed at. So Paige determines that if it's not those things, it must be girl trouble. And Marco called the fight between Darcy and Manny a cage match. I think, no, that was not a cage match.
It certainly wasn't.
That was a pull apart at best.
Maybe a lumberjack match. Maybe.
Yes. At best. Yes,
yeah.
Spinner explains that Darcy thinks that there's something going on with her, him and Manny. Paige says Darcy is jealous of his past. And there's nothing you can do to erase that. But that gives Spinner an idea.
Also, by the way, Spinner talking to Paige about his girlfriend being jealous of him and Manny when he broke up with Paige because he was basically with Manny.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come out of Paige's mouth. Like, I mean, I can understand that they could still be friends and have gotten over it, but I would think at the very least she'd be like, well, it's kind of funny, Spinner, because that happened before.
It had to be sore spot at some point, yeah.
Yeah.
So we head to Paige and Alex, who are at some kind of record shop. Paige asks again about moving to banding. Alex says she hasn't thought about that because it's months away. Paige thinks they should have a plan. And it's important to have a plan. Alex thinks it's important to have fun. And her idea of fun is shoplifting.
Yes.
Yeah. Wants Paige to steal a CD from the store. Paige doesn't want to do it, a.k.a. the Vula to her Lucy, I guess.
Yeah.
So we're about to leave in the store. Alex drops the CD in the bag, and the alarm goes off. And Paige goes right back right away and says it was an accident. And I guess they believe her. I don't know. You don't really see how that plays out. We head to Friendship Club.
Uh-huh.
Here we go. Spinner and Marco are setting up the purification ceremony.
Marco. Marco.
Marco, right? Yeah.
What happened when last we saw the Friendship Club interacting with Marco?
It didn't go well.
No.
Didn't they call him a gay slur last time they saw him?
Yes. And you could argue, well, that was just Linus, but there were other people protesting with Linus, and I'm sure some of them thought he went too far, but still, just even before that shit came out of his mouth, the fact that they stormed Marco's event to counter protest, and now Marco's just like, we friends.
What the, like, this makes zero sense. This is a breath away from being conversion therapy, what they're doing here. It's very reeks of that type of mentality. Like, we are the right ones. You're the wrong ones. Be pure.
And like,
and also not gay. It's like, fuck.
And like, Marco, even if his event hadn't been ruined, he's a smart dude. He's the fucking valedictorian. He'd be like, this is a bullshit ceremony. Like, you do you, but like, no, I'm gonna skip it. Like, this is fake bullshit.
Nope, he loves it. No.
Guess he's doing to show what a friend he is to Spinner, even though he hated him for most of the last two seasons. But anyway,
yep, great.
Like, could we at least have a conversation with the two of them where he's like, Spinner, this is really stupid, fucked up idea. Like, we're friends, so I'm gonna support you, but what the fuck? But no, we're just led to believe that he's there and he's cool with it.
He's there lighting candles.
Yeah.
He's all starry-eyed, too, like, wow, this is great. Come on, man. Doesn't work that way. You weirdo.
Yeah. So they light up their candles. Darcy shows up and Spinner tells her that he wants to become a virgin again. And I don't know if that's... I guess this is how it happens. I don't know. Darcy says it isn't that simple. Spinner says he wants to do this and he stayed up all night memorizing the scripture, which we soon learn is one line.
I love how Darcy says it isn't that simple. Like, it's really complicated. You have to memorize a line, light some candles, and have people around. Like, do you know how hard that is to get your virginity back?
Yeah. I don't know if that's how it actually works. I'm sure Dwayne would wish it worked like that.
Can we just go back and watch that show?
Yes. Yeah. So, anyway, like I said, Spinner says his one line that took him all night to memorize. Some other person is Chris. What's that one's name? I can't even remember.
Who cares? Kim.
Kim, is it? She reads a line out of the book.
Yeah.
And I guess that's it. He's a virgin again.
You're a virgin?
Yeah. They do their stupid ceremony, and Darcy's happy. And I'm like, why the fuck would anybody want anything to fucking do with this crowd? that's what Marco's thinking, I'm sure. I hope.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Paige and Alex talking. Paige is pissed about the shoplifting, and I don't agree with Paige very often, but I have to agree with her here. Says Alex is immature, and she was embarrassed. Alex calls her a drama queen. And Paige says she can't live in the moment. She needs structure. Alex says she needs to figure out who she is and can't go to Banting working a minimum wage job being her lapdog. She says maybe she'll go to college. Maybe she'll join the army. Maybe she'll start a business. But she has to do it on her timetable. Paige wonders what she means by all this. Alex says, you're the smart one. Figure it out. And with this, the Palix ship has sailed.
And Ted laughed. Take that, Paige. Sucker.
The one thing that makes sense in this episode. I'm like, yes, like you should break up.
The only truth.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, she's making a lot of sense. Totally. Because it has been following me around. It's just, that's really weird. That's not a relationship. That's a servant, a servitude.
We see Darcy and Spinner having a picnic. Spinner thinks the purification feels factory fresh.
His dick.
What the fuck?
Smells great. Just right out of the factory. Did you notice
smell of my dick?
did you notice anything interesting about the park where they were having this picnic?
No.
Dog walked by.
It's clearly a dog park. There are at least four dogs that walk by in the background. Like,
I see a dog, sure.
Yeah, there were four. Because in the first scene, there were two dogs, and I'm like, oh, two dogs. Then all of a sudden, there was another one and another one, and I'm like, this is a dog park. Like,
so they're obviously set up on dog piss. Yes.
Yeah, there's a substantial amount of dog piss in that hill they're sitting on.
Yeah, he sniffs the air, and he's like, the freshness of virginity. And it's like, that's dog piss, dude.
It smells like shit and piss.
And Spinner's like, why did you bring me here? And that's another thing towards my theory.
Yeah, yes.
Where do they go on a date? A dog park.
They're
adding up. They're adding up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The puzzle pieces are starting to fit here. Spinner says, who would have thought I would have been a virgin again, especially after last summer? The summer of puss.
He's so stupid.
Yeah.
Just talking about just...
Like, why would you say this to somebody?
Yeah.
Like, I was just swimming in it. Like, no, you don't.
Oh,
what a dumb.
I was a vegetarian.
And she goes, I'm mad.
Mr. Simpson would have been so proud of me. Darcy's confused and said, I thought you were dating Manny before the summer. And Spinner says there's two others. Now, again, this is a lie you tell your buddies, not your absent girlfriend. Darcy upset that he lied about all the puss. And Spinner says, oh, that's before I found Christ. It's all cleansed now. Have a whiff. You can smell the cleansiness.
And he waves up from his crotch, smelling fresh as a daisy.
So she's mad because now she's, I mean, she's mad about the lie, but she's also like, she's almost saying like, this nullifies your fucking virginity ceremony. And it's like, well, I don't think it does, because you did it, you haven't fucked anyone since, but also the ceremony is fake. So mm-hmm. like, yeah. if it's fake, you could make it be whatever you want to be. So the fact that she's like, it doesn't work that way, I'd be like, it's fake. Like, you can make it whatever yeah. you want it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Darcy's not having any of this, like you say, because this is a fake bullshit ceremony. Spinner says it isn't about anything but her jealousy. He says he'll never be clean enough for her, and he fans his crotch at her a few more times. And, yeah. and he dumps her. To smell that. Smell you later.
Smell you later. Smell you later, you filthy mutt. And then he leaves her at the dog park.
And then she's sad for a second, and then she turns around and goes running after some dogs, like, hey guys,
yeah.
And they got a rope bone, and she's like, and she's totally happy again.
Yeah, we head to Alex's house, and we see Jay the Ski.
Oh, Ski.
Woo! My son, actually, my 8-year-old son asked me today if the word nuts is skeet language. So where'd you hear that too? It's a daycare. Oh,
uh-huh. Yeah, Charlie.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. So anyway, I thought that was great.
You say.
Anyway, Jay says that he's here not to see her, but to watch the game. Is Jeff that the guy's name?
Chad.
Yeah. Chad.
Oh, Chad. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. The game is a Dodgers Blue Jays game, so an interleague squad interleague match. But unfortunately, Jay passed out before the game ended. Alex tells Jay that he and Paige split, and his first inkling on this was, you need a shoulder to cry at or a quick rebound, which I thought was great.
Jay's like, oh, that's too bad. Zip. Like,
yeah. Now my pants are chafing me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, great.
I have to say, I did laugh. I did enjoy that line. Alex is like, she's not confused, she's not bi, she's a lesbian, and she just broke up with her first girlfriend, and it sucks. Jay zips his pants back up, says he's sorry, and for the first time he actually means it, which I thought was great too.
I was not sorry when I said sorry for giving you gonorrhea, but I mean it this time.
This time,
yeah.
Serious.
Yeah. Jay asks if they want to watch TV as friends, and that's what they do.
And I noted that Alex sits on the couch, puts her feet up on it, and she still has her shoes on. So,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Rude.
Perfect. Animal.
Yeah. We go back to the dot. The store is closing. Paige is still there, along with Spinner. Spinner's closing up. Paige tells Spinner her and Alex broke up. Spinner says her and Darcy did the same. He wishes he was leaving like her. Paige says, don't envy her. When I blow it and everyone sees what a faker I am who doesn't belong, I was like, what are you? So you tell everybody you've been faking it all this time? That's uh-huh. good. Yeah. Spinner calls her amazing. I wholeheartedly disagree with that.
With what? With what? With what evidence do you say this, Spinner?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she did get into a good school, but there's been nothing about these 5 seasons about Paige that I would describe as amazing.
No.
Terrible, yes. Spinner looks at his watch and is amazed at what time it is, although it is closing time and at the end of his shift, so he should be fully aware what time it is. And he offers to drive Paige home. So they kind of stand up, they kind of bump into each other, they look at each other, and they start making out.
Great. Yeah. Lovely.
And here we go. Credits.
You smell like a virgin.
You smell factory fucking fresh.
Fresh.
Show me that shiny dick. And he unzips his pants, and it's like when they open the briefcase in Pulp Fiction, and just this light comes out of it. Oh. Ooh. Looking good.
Oh, that, of course, happened in deleted scenes, and unfortunately, Arlo wasn't here to
talk to us. Oh, sorry. Yeah, too bad Arlo's not here. I watched the deleted scenes, but I didn't cue them up. I didn't take it.
There was deleted scenes? So.
Oh, yeah, because when he unzipped his pants and the light came out.
Oh, yeah, upside down.
That deleted scene. Yep. Yeah. I watched it.
What's everyone's thoughts on this masterpiece?
I give this one 3 toilet flushes out of 5. So, that's my thoughts.
I give it two shiny penises out of 10.
Yeah.
I think I was listening to one of the recent episodes. I think it may have been Tim, but one of you guys said it was just like the show went from being an educational show to being a dramatic show. And they kind of talk about the hard-hitting topics, but they do it in a dramatic way, and I don't think they do the best job of it.
Yeah, like, what lessons are we supposed to learn from this, right? You can go through a magic ceremony and get a shiny dick. So we learned that. We learned that if you showed your tits when you were drunk and someone broadcast it to the school, you're the bad person.
Yes, that's true.
And you can be friends with your abuser afterwards. Yes. So we learned that. What else did we learn?
Eating disorders last two episodes.
Yep, we learned that. So it's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't be in a wheelchair and
graduate on time.
Great. What?
Yeah. And not only that, but like it's a secret until the end of the school year. Your boss can make you clean toilets and then fire you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of good stuff in this episode of learning. But yeah, it's just drama, right? Oh, these two couples broke up and now the two people who were together before are smooching, and ooh, what's going to happen? This, by the way, is this two-parter. This is the end of season 5. It's also the end of the run at Degrassi for our older class, right? Like, we haven't even...
Oh, yeah.
Like, the next episode ends at grad. Like, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep,
Spinner and Drake don't graduate, but, like, Paige, Ellie, Hazel, Marco, all these characters are graduating from the high school that the show is about, and it's like nothing on that at all.
I do find it odd, like the whole religious angle. I don't understand what they were trying to do with that either. And they just made it insane instead of just making it like there's lots of normal religious people.
Well, I think the idea around the Darcy character is what, like, she's conflicted because she wants to do normal things, but then she's also religious, and you're supposed to be like, that this is a normal, I mean, I guess it is, right? Like, I don't live it, so I'm sure that there are a lot of people who have conflicts still with their religion, so you're supposed to play that out, but you kind of, in the situations that come up, I don't know who could watch this and be like, oh yeah, religion is cool. Like, it doesn't make you a psycho. And like, I'm not pro-religion by any means, but you portray religion in almost every situation in this show and make it seem like it's a bad thing. There's no good things that these people get from being in this club.
Absolutely.
100%.
It's very much the foil of the show. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I figured, like, too, it was supposed to kind of touch on Spinner, right? Like, needing to be forgiven. And I don't know. Like, so I guess he had to become religious to do that.
Yeah.
That was the one group that would accept him, I guess, is what kind of what happened. Because he was shunned by everybody else. But this group accepted him and they could forgive and all this. And I still don't think Spinner did anything too bad. All he did do was... He helps up the prank, but I guess he didn't know what the consequence of that was. And he just didn't disagree with Jay when he said it was Jimmy. That's all he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but he is carrying that with him, so fine. And in his head, he's like, these people are accepting me. But I mean, I look at it and I'm like, they want your money, dude. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Right?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. But whatever. Like, they're not looking to make you a better person. They're looking for you to spread propaganda and give money up. Like, that's what they want.
That's religion.
Yeah.
Just kidding. If anybody's religious, that's listening.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry.
I mean, I'm not kidding. But yeah. I went to church my whole life, too. But only because I was forced to.
I went to church until I was, like, 14 or 15. But, like...
40?
Until yesterday. And I mean, I remember them doing, like, the thing that got me, and again, this is critical thinking for, like, a 13-year-old, but they had a youth group that I did not participate in. Like, I went to Sunday school, so it's not like I was too cool for all the shit, but I wasn't in the youth group. And every couple of weeks, as part of the church service, they'd be like, the youth group is going to do a play. And it would always be, like, this 5-minute play, and almost every time the moral was basically, like, if you're rich, you're a bad person, and if you're poor, you know, things are cool. And I was like, you're all rich. Like, everybody, who goes to this church is wealthy. And I was like, this is fucking bullshit. Wait, is church bullshit? And that was kind of the end.
Do you mean a camel can't get through the eye of a needle? What? Say what?
That's what church related. I mentioned this to Ted and Courtney recently, is that when I was in grade five, I went to a Catholic school, and my teacher was the organ player for the church. And every now and again, there'd be a funeral during school. So he'd take the whole class down to the church and play the organ at the funeral. So there's some person dead and all their loved ones are there. There's a bunch of 8-year-olds or 10-year-olds or however old we were, just sitting there not paying attention and goofing around at someone's funeral.
That's so funny.
What was it, grade five?
Grade five, yeah.
Yeah, so you'd be 10. So like a bunch of 10-year-olds in the pews. Yeah. Oh.
I should, you know, I'm going to have to acknowledge, because I have a girlfriend who was a minister.
Yeah.
And was a minister in the United Church, which from everything that's been explained to me, a lot of it is about kind of more community and less Jesus-y. Yes. And I mean, we still have conversations about it, because there's still a part of me that's like, can't it just be about community? Like, why does it have to be Jesus-y that brings everything together? So, you know, I can't be 100% against religion. That'd be hypocritical of me, but it bothers me. I mean, it bothers me for the same reasons it bothers all of you. And again, in this show, you know, if you're going to put religion out there in a show, I don't feel like it is fair to portray it as 100% negative, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Sure. No.
Yeah.
Agree. And not even like extreme negative, like psycho negative.
Yeah. Like, again, to the point where it's like, this organization shouldn't be allowed to exist in the school. Like, they're too disruptive, right? Like, there's too much trouble that this group causes in the school that they shouldn't be allowed. And it doesn't have to be like that. Like, there are, you know, there must be religious. I mean, there's fucking religious schools. So whatever.
Yep.
My kids go to Catholic schools, but not for the right reasons.
For all the wrong reasons.
I did remind me. I didn't know anybody like psycho religious in high school. There was a youth group that was religious. And I thought one of the guys was cute, so I joined it.
And yes.
They were great.
Yeah. And my religion is fucking. That's what you said.
Yeah. The church of fuck. Yeah. Well, I remember we had
purification ceremony.
They had us over, and we were watching some Monty Python. I think what is it? Life of David? Is that
Life of Brian.
Life of Brian, Life of David. And so we watched it, and they would fast forward like all the nude scenes or like the scenes, I don't know. I can't even remember what they were.
Ah, nerds. They were
like, yes.
Nerds. I thought that was cute.
And you didn't sing to them, every sperm is sacred, every sperm is good. Yeah. That's... All right,
things ought to wrap this one up. I really got off the tangent.
All right, yeah.
Next up in Arbos and Broomheads, we get part two of this gem. We get some of the original gang graduate, some don't. Some come back, and we disappointingly do not get a scene with Marco's dad.
Nope.
Before we go, let's go around the horn one last time. I am Barry. You can follow me on Twitter at Barry R. Flynn. I don't put much up there, but football season is coming up, so you might see a little bit of Cleveland Browns content.
Oh, wait, great. Deshaun?
No. I like the team despite Deshaun.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Let's send it to Ted.
Hey, Ted at Saywa3 on the Instagram machine. Come over and see Linda, Summer Linda. Yeah. And she, us, me and her swimming in the creek. Come on over. What about Courtney?
Come on over. The water's great.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. I'm here in Ottawa and I'm on Instagram. Courtney.12.93.
Don't put in 12.93. We will not find Courtney. You might find someone else, but...
Yeah, you'll find my OnlyFans.
Nice.
Hey. There you go. And I think I had nothing else to say, so I might as well go to Alan. Uncle right. Slip.
All right, lots of plugs here. Slip on all the social medias. This podcast can be found at Narbo's Podcast on Twitter, at Narbo's and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram. Narbo's and Broomheads at gmail.com. I just realized I was going to read an email And I forgot, so I'll read the emails next week. So stay tuned for that. And a reminder to everybody, again, that after we finish off the season of Degrassi, we are flipping the script over to My So-Called Life for at least 19 episodes, so probably over the course of the fall and into January. So please stick around for it. I think it will be fun. And if you have friends who like that show and didn't like Degrassi, tell them about it, because our show is still going to be called Narbos and Broomheads, and people are going to be confused.
So, behalf of everybody here at the Narbos and Broomheads crew, thanks for listening, and we hope you come back for the next episode. Don't you dare miss it.
Peace.
See you next time.
Baby.
Well, I just said I was going to get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would work with them to get makeup. Just to get the car like you.